joining me now from the school board, Patrick Martin. Welcome back, sir. How are you?
I'm great today.
Thank you for coming back in on this one for a little follow-up. I want to rewind the clock back to the beginning of the public meetings, though.
Okay.
Just kind of for a full reset. How did things play out over the week? How was attendance, and what did we learn?
Yeah, we had some great meetings. We had them at three different schools, plus a couple of virtual meetings and a meeting with the business community. So we had, you know, 5-6 meetings. We had good attendance. We had 75 to 100 people at most of the schools coming in person. Mm-hmm. A lot of people I've not seen before, not the same people that come to our meetings every single time. So it's great to hear a fresh perspective.
I know. Yeah, it's always good to get when the community's dialed in, you know, you're going to get better results because you get more input.
Absolutely.
So we get through those meetings. What kind of things did we hear? What did we hear we're looking for?
So, you know, depending on who you talk to, there are different perspectives from different
sure.
groups, of course, right? So we heard a lot of people talking about wanting somebody local that they can trust in the superintendent role. The main focus, and we tried to keep it away from discussions of people or personalities, and more on what does the district need. And what we heard consistently is we've got to address our grade schools are doing great. They're top of the nation, really. Baton Rouge High, Liberty, fantastic schools. But our poorest schools have a long way to go. And there's a lot of our poorest kids in town that we're really failing. And that's where we've really got to focus our efforts with whoever we hire as superintendent.
Okay. How do we refocus efforts without suffering drop off?
So, if we knew that for sure, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in now. Right.
Well, yeah.
So we had a long discussion last night about a couple of our most failing schools, been F schools for several years now, are at risk of takeover by the state.
Mm-hmm.
And the board really did a deep dive in these two middle schools to understand what are the problems. Because unless you understand what's really causing it, then you're not going to improve. A lot of times a middle school may look failing. The teachers may be doing a decent enough job. It's that the kids aren't prepared for middle school when they show up there.
Right. And this is something that's being addressed on a statewide level as well. We've had Dr. Cade Brumley on with us roughly once a month, talking about, we talked a lot about early childhood education and how well they can read by the age of three and how we're moving up the ranks there. I believe we're 40th in the nation now as opposed to 48th.
That's correct.
It's nice, but it's not a finish line.
Correct.
But that being said, though, when you look at statewide numbers, just like looking at our schools in East Baton Rouge, where the good are really good and the bad are really bad, and looking at statewide numbers, you can have that same effect there.
Correct.
It can get lost in the wash. So that walks us up to last night. How did things transpire?
It was good. We had a good meeting last night. We unveiled a process for our budget for next year, right? So that's very important. That's where the board is really supposed to do most of its work in looking at how do we provide the appropriate level of resources to the schools that are most in need, to the students who are most in need.
So, okay, well, this is addressing things without addressing the superintendent yet, though. So that's a whole separate discussion.
Correct.
All right, how much can be done? Like, I don't want to idiot-proof the job, right? But how much can be done in that regard?
Well, I think one of the things we've got to understand is that while whoever the superintendent is of supreme importance, it is strategically extremely important to us. We also have to understand that this is bigger than any one person, and it's a team effort. Not just by the single superintendent, but also by the leadership throughout the district, both in the schools, the principals, as well as central office, and the board as the mouthpiece sort of the community. We all have to work together and do our role. So our role right now is to communicate to our interim superintendent the kinds of goals that we want to be set in our budget, and then review the budget that the interim superintendent proposes and evaluate whether we think that's going to meet the needs of our kids.
As far as the superintendent is concerned, as far as the next superintendent is concerned, let's walk through a little bit of a timeline of what we're looking for here, step by step.
Sure. So we'll be putting out an advertisement early next week. It'll be in the Advocate, and we'll put it in several national publications. It's called a notice of vacancy. That's what the law calls it.
Okay.
And so that will invite applications. We'll have the search committee is meeting this afternoon to select a local consulting firm to kind of help us with the mechanical process of receiving applications and so forth. So that'll be open for 30 days. During those 30 days, the board will continue to be working on like what metrics we want to assign in the next superintendent's contract and so forth. And then at the end of 30 days, then the consulting firm will have received all the applications we're going to receive. There'll be a particular date on which those are disclosed to the board and almost immediately disclosed to the public. And then the board, with the help of the consulting firm, will start reviewing those applications, winnowing it down to a set of finalists that the board selects. And then the consulting firm we select today will help us host public meetings and plenty of public engagement, so everybody in town can have, who wants to, can have an opportunity to review the finalist candidates and provide feedback to the board before we make a final selection sometime in, you know, July, early July.
Okay. So yeah, ad goes out next week.
Mm-hmm.
Window opens for 30 days, which means it's going to be mid-June before that 30 days is over with.
Correct.
So from there, that's where we start to establish a list of, you know, your top finalists or whatever. Is there a number put on how many finalists you've done?
No, okay. We don't.
Yeah, it's going to depend on how many applicants there are, how many good applicants there are as well. And we're shooting for mid-July here.
Yes.
Okay. That's more than halfway through the summertime before school gets back in. Is there concern that we're already pushing up against the next school year already?
You know, you generally want to have a superintendent on board as early as you can. We made some choices along the way in doing the search. You know, we're also, as we're going through this process over that 30-day period, we're going to be hopefully finalizing our budget for next year.
Right? Sure.
Suppose we brought in a superintendent, they started June 2nd or something like that, right?
Right.
Then we'd be nearly finished with the budget. It would look like they had a chance to weigh in and impact the budget. They wouldn't necessarily have been able to do that. So I think we're at a healthy place where we're going to bring the superintendent on board enough time to take a look very quickly at what's going on in our schools, our school leadership, make some changes, make some influence, but not sit them in the middle of where they're stuck with a bunch of decisions already made.
We got Patrick Martin in from a school board talking about the next school superintendent. So this is going to bring up other questions, though, about the direction that we're headed. Mm-hmm. I feel like the sense I'm getting from you is that the school board and those who are already invested, those who are already in it, are saying basically, for starters, kind of a ramp up for the next superintendent. Mm-hmm. It's like, here's the path we've got you on now. Where you want to take it from here is up to you, but we've got you on a path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's about right.
Okay. So is that going to affect those who would apply? Those who would be more along the lines of, I use this quote way too many times. Bill Parcells said, talking about a GM and a coach, and we'll call the school board the GM, we'll call the superintendent the coach here.
Right.
If you want to let them cook, you got to let them shop for the groceries.
Mm-hmm.
With this particular scenario, the school board's definitely shopping for the groceries.
For this year, that's not to say that that's what we're looking for long term, right? There was just the timing of everything. This is what seemed like us to us to be most likely to get us the best result, right? So everybody's going to have to understand that you can't hold whoever the new superintendent is 100% responsible for next year. But that said, there are a lot of things that can be done over the course of the year to make course corrections to say, hey, wait a second, this is, this person in this role is not the right person for the role. Let's switch. And that can sometimes see immediate improvements. Meanwhile, however, the decision to the board needs to be the one to have the political will to say we need more resources at our most failing schools, or maybe at some point we need to consider closing some of our worst performing schools if we've done everything else we can to try to improve those. Those are really decisions that are incumbent on the board to have the political will to make.
We've got Patrick Martin in with us. He's with the East Baton Rouge Parish School Board and mapping out where we're headed here for our next superintendent. The way our previous superintendent left, I don't think a whole lot of people, I have a bad taste in a whole lot of people's mouths. This time last year, he was shopping for a new job anyway, right? How much of a concern is there that we're just going to seek out anti-Cito?
That's not our goal. Right. We're trying to strike the right balance to get just the right person who's going to do a bunch of things. One, we do not have the most functional culture in our district. Right. That's one of the reasons we created a task force that'll be starting work in the next few weeks to look at workplace conditions in our schools and our school culture overall. And so we need somebody who's going to really do that, to really work very meaningfully to improve that. My goal personally is that 3 years from now, we're recognized as one of the top places to work in Baton Rouge. We got a long way to go to get there. So we're looking for somebody who's going to be open and honest and transparent, both with their employees, our employees in the district, as well as with our family and our community.
So I don't even know if we're going to touch on this. Okay. Bringing in a committee, right? Or bringing in a consulting firm. Procedurally, does that have to be done? Because I feel like when it comes to this sort of thing, we always look, and you said there's a lot of want for somebody local, right? Procedurally, do we have to bring in a consulting firm, or can the answer be right in front of our face?
We don't technically have to bring in a consulting firm, but understand what and we'll have more discussion at our ad hoc search committee meeting this afternoon, but we're not particularly looking for a quote-unquote headhunter firm, right, who have a pool of candidates that are the same candidates they bring to every district in the country.
Right.
We're particularly engaging this firm. We want them to make some calls to help us identify prime candidates, right? But the main role is to help us, once we get these applications, to just kind of do the mechanical processing of it and help us think through the best way to get public input and structure the board's review of these candidates, as opposed to, hey, let's go get a big national search firm and they bring us 50 resumes in a binder.
Is our current interim, is Adam Smith, is his name in the hopper here?
He certainly has a right to apply. Whether he will or not, that's going to be up to him. That's not something anybody's like locked in on or anything like that. We need a strong mix of names, and we anticipate a strong mix of highly qualified applicants. We've got a lot of potential to move up in this district, and so a national candidate, a regional candidate could come in. They could really make a name for themselves by helping us turn ourselves around.
I want to bring this back around to basics about the job itself. What are the qualifications?
So, there's actually this whole set of things that are prescribed by law that of qualifications that a superintendent has to be able to meet. You have to have been a certified teacher for a certain number of years. Preferably have had to go through a training academy we call superintendent school to become certified to be a superintendent. If you don't meet those criteria, then there is what's called an alternative qualification process where if you're shy in one or two of those particular things, then you can still be the superintendent, but the superintendent and the board then have to hire a chief academic officer to be in charge of the curriculum for the schools.
That's a whole other salary.
Well, I mean, yes and no. The role of the superintendent, their technical responsibility is to be in charge of every single thing that happens everywhere in the district, right?
Right.
The buck truly stops with them. They need a significant staff of highly qualified deputies, chiefs, we call them right now, who are doing a lot of that work. You really need a chief academic officer, regardless of whether your superintendent is legally qualified for that or not.
Fair enough. I mean, yeah, it's the right call. You want more specialization and expertise within the office.
Correct.
To be sure. We've got a couple minutes left with Patrick Martin from our East Baton Rouge Parish School Board. I've been talking about the search or the upcoming search for the next superintendent of EBR schools. Just quick recap. Ad goes out next week. 30-day period opens up. Mid-June, we're looking at finalists, mid-July, having someone in place. Let's pivot the conversation, since we've got a couple minutes left here, over to the interim and the job that he's done thus far. I mean, he was brought in with a tall task to handle here. So I want to make sure that if he's in the running for the next time around, or we're just patting him on the back on the way out, how has Adam Smith done?
Look, I think he's done a good job, as interim so far. I think he inherited a lot of stuff, right? Had to really hit the ground running. He's certainly well-respected and trusted by a whole lot of our employees. That came across loud and clear in a lot of our public meetings. I think, we're going to have to see how he does on this. When we unveil the budget, which we're going to do publicly next Monday and in our first public discussions next Thursday about the budget, we're going to see what kind of work he and his staff have done with that, and I think that'll be really telling.
So the next time we need to check in is when? End of this 30-day period?
No, I think I think I should come back before then to really talk about a budget. The budget's really very important. The budget process we had last year was a mess. Nobody was happy. The board wasn't happy. Our superintendent then wasn't happy. The public was not happy at all about that process. We're going to have a much more public process this time. We're going to have at least four public hearings about the budget between now and June 20th. And so bring them back in a week or two, and let's talk about the budget.
Absolutely. More than happy to. Always, we can't check in enough on our schools, because we saw how this school year that's wrapping up now, we saw how it started. and as you just said, nobody was happy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely dial it back in. We'll get you back in a couple weeks. He is Patrick Martin with East Baton Rouge Parish School Board.